Is teleportation possible? What happens if two mind readers read each other's minds simultaneously? Do they explode? Answers to these questions and more on this episode of
This Paranormal Life!
Ho ho!
Hey!
Welcome back to This Paranormal Life. This is the weekly comedy podcast where every Tuesday you're joined by two, I'm holding up four fingers, but that's two hands of two, of the finest paranormal investigators there are. That's me, Kit Grimalvenna, and this guy, Rory Pars, sitting across from me.
Hey!
How the devil are you doing today, Rory?
Doing great, Kit. Excited to be back in Northern Ireland recording a little paranormal podcast. Let me tell you, I wish teleportation was real, because then I wouldn't have had to board my BA flight all the way over here. And then also then, because Northern Irish public transportation is, let's say, limited, get a bus to a train, then the train to a bus, and then the bus to a short 25-minute walk.
I said I was busy.
I said I was busy.
Rory, yeah, of course, asked me very politely
for a lift
from the airport.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh. See, me and Phil are in the middle of a pretty hot and heavy Mario Kart tournament. So as much as I would love to drive 90 minutes to pick you up from the airport and kind of 90 minutes back,
I think one round.
I am matchmaking. I am matchmaking right now, and it's a pretty hot room. We got some pretty high-level players from Japan, from the United States, and I just didn't want to let it go because I was on a roll.
Well, one round of Mario Kart, I think, is at max 10 minutes, right? It's four races.
Really more like, it's like 2 minutes per race as well, yeah.
And you're like, between you and me, brother, I'm so fast. I'm finishing every one in about 60 seconds.
I don't know where I'm faster, in the bedroom or on 200cc Mario circuit. I'm glad to see you made it. And
I like to have sex in mirror mode. That's right. We go reverse cowboy.
There's shells. There's bananas. It's like a battle mini game. There's balloons. It's crazy. Metal Mario's watching in the corner for some reason.
There's a great joke in there somewhere. I make love like I play Mario Kart.
I always think I'm going to come first, but something gets in the way and I come last.
Sometimes I don't finish at all. That's pretty good.
We got there.
I was going to say beating off.
You shouldn't be beating off at all if that's where you're going.
Hey.
I'm glad you've made it back to the motherland, Rory, because you know as well as I do, I'm going to get ahead of it here and say, don't worry, we're not doing another Irish investigation. There's been a few recently, but the paranormal energy is simply seeping out of the ground of the motherland. Everywhere you step, there's some kind of f***ed up myth or kind of religion or pagan belief going on. Not like whenever you're in East London, Rory, where like everywhere you step is like, I don't know, another third wave coffee spot.
Yeah, it's a little bit less paranormal, I would say. It's a busy lifestyle. You don't have time to look at what ancient grave you're stepping on, because there's 20 more in your way and you got to get to work.
Yeah, whereas I got to go through three haunted graveyards just to drop my kid off to nursery in the morning.
Where's your nursery?
It's in another haunted graveyard, yeah. So glad you got here, Rory, on British Airways flight CHUMP. You got here in perfect timing. You made it here despite my best efforts. You're here for a fantastic paranormal investigation.
Woo!
After years of investigating the paranormal, Rory, sometimes on rare days, it can feel like we've investigated it all, right? From Roswell to the Bermuda Triangle to Atlantis, we've covered a lot, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
But I promise you, today is a massive one. I actually don't really know how we've avoided it until now. And yet we can't go one step further into 2024 without covering it.
Oh my God.
How much do you know, Rory? About crop circles.
The shape.
It stops there, right? Yeah. Yeah. Clues in the name.
That's about it.
Yeah, they're big old ovals.
Not a lot. You know, they are big symbols, markings, left in crops, in fields, in farms. And I believe the assumption is that they're left behind by extraterrestrials or UFOs. I think.
You're absolutely right. I guess these things, you could think of them as like the holy grail of UFO investigation. It's like a pillar of ufology and totally synonymous with the paranormal. These things were honestly like a big backdrop of our childhood, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
I think in the 90s, they were everywhere.
Yeah, well, they're also a big part of our childhood because when we were growing up, a crop circle is when you all sat down on the floor and smoked weed.
Okay, all right. That was the kind of crops we were interested in. It wasn't shredded wheat. There was the shredded wheat pack. You could get 2 grams for £30. We are going to get to the bottom of what the hell these things are, where they're coming from, and whether they're paranormal. Right after a couple of words from today's sponsors and a quick reminder that every single episode of This Paranormal Life is available ad-free right now at patreon.com/thisparanormallife. Okay, we're starting this week's investigation down under. It's 1966 in North Queensland, Australia.
Wow.
Banana farmer George Pedley is driving his tractor past Horseshoe Lagoon near Tully.
Not a real place.
When he hears...
Horseshoe Lagoon? That's a Mario Kart level.
I was going to say, that's at least a Diddy Kong racing track. I'm pretty sure I've flown a monkey in a Cessna plane around Horseshoe Lagoon.
And this guy is, sorry, checks notes, a banana farmer?
Oh shit, he's a chimp. He's one of the Kongs. He's not Diddy or Funky, but he's one of the Kongs.
A banana farmer. He farmed bananas and turtles.
As I say, George is driving his tractor past Horseshoe Lagoon when he hears an ear-piercing hiss. The sound is so loud it can be heard over the roar of his tractor engine.
Bloody hell, mate. I popped a tire, something.
He slams on the brakes and switches off the engine. But before he can climb down from the cab, he sees something rising from the lagoon, covered in a strange blue vapor. George spots a flying craft, the source of this high-pitched hissing.
Oh!
Describing the encounter years later, he said, "It looked like a flying saucer. I didn't see it for very long. It just disappeared."
It came out of the lagoon?
Yeah.
From underneath the water? That's weird. That's strange.
A rare one, but something we have heard of before.
Right,
UFOs
underwater.
Coming from underwater.
That's really interesting. Because, you know, if it's up in the sky, maybe you're getting confused with a lot of stuff. You know, like an airplane, a jet, a weather balloon.
Or let's face it, balloon.
There's no such thing as a weather lagoon. But let me tell you that. I don't even know what kind of creature lives in specifically lagoons. Is the environment of a lagoon so different to, let's say, a lake or a river or an ocean?
It's a swampy type vibe. So, you know, we're talking crocs, mate.
Right. Right. Not
gators.
Okay, I get it. I know that you're just using this as an excuse to whip out your
snakes.
Australian accent. Not a snake. Definitely not a
water
snake.
Water snakes.
Well, not in the sky. That's not what this was.
No, in the lagoon.
In the lagoon, yeah.
He later told a news reporter that
a large saucer-shaped object rose out of the lagoon, tilted slightly, and shot away at terrific speed.
Whew.
My body was rigid with fright.
Mm. I remember standing over the opposite the tractor, looking in, trying to convince myself that I didn't see it. Well, it looked like a flying saucer object. Didn't see it for very long. It just disappeared.
This UFO would have a lasting effect on George, but it's the effect on the actual landscape that is the subject of today's investigation. Because George pushed through the reeds and jungle foliage to get a closer look at where the craft had lifted off from, he couldn't believe what he saw. He discovered that the reeds had been flattened 9 meters in diameter.
Mm.
A circular impression was clearly visible on the swampy surface. Astonished, George and a neighbour waded deeper into the lagoon and found a further 5 circles in the surrounding area. Rory, here's a photo of one of those circles from the Tully UFO.
Ooh, okay. So imagine if your classic UFO, shaped like a flying saucer, came down and just with its flat underbelly smushed the grass.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're looking at here. You know, which is something that we've kind of looked at when we investigate UFO cases all the time, is, okay, someone says a craft came down and set down in the woods. Right, well, is there little holes where the legs of the thing have come out? Is there, like, burnt trees and radioactive activity around the soil where it touched down? This mother didn't even know how to park this thing.
The landing gear didn't come down in time.
Yeah, they were just above the sky and turned off the anti-gravity and sunk like a rock.
Yeah, it's a different style of craft. And I mean, it gets into the weeds, quite literally, of... We don't know what these things look like. We don't really know how they work. We have obviously lots of witness testimony. There's nothing to suggest that they need to have like little landing gears or legs or wheels or anything like what we use. It could be that it's just kind of a flattened bottom that just lands straight down.
Assuming this thing has wheels is like going on board and assuming this thing also has a f-ing toilet.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on an alien spaceship and you're like, oh, this is so cool. Really excited to get going. Before we head off, I'm going to use the John. they're like, well, first off, we don't know what that is. Because you just use the guy's name to talk about something.
Yeah,
they're like,
sorry. Don't be that casual to begin with.
You're like, before we take off, I got to go drain the snake.
Yeah, I got to whiz.
They're like, what on earth is draining the snake?
You're like, I got to go whiz. They're like, oh, we're actually flying by Wiz. We could drop you off at Planet Wiz if you want. You're like, no.
They probably don't have toilets. I remember once we investigated aliens that the way they pooped was touching an orb.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of disappeared.
I think that was Planet Serpo, yeah.
Yeah. So who's to say these things need to have landing gear or ramps? They might just plop down on the grass.
It's been a long time since I've personally looked at crop circle pictures. They are cool. Like, as you say... We are always looking for this in any UFO case. We would always love to get this photo. And we almost never get this photo of just a clear, clear indentation of something that, let's face it, couldn't be many other things. Like, there isn't really any particular device in kind of human technology that would, there's nothing extremely obvious that would be able to make that. It's not like a UFO. Or a car parked there. No. A car did not make it in there and make a perfectly circular shape and then hover out of it again.
Okay. Yes. I mean...
Prove me wrong.
All I'm going to say is, could a UFO have made that circle? Yes.
Yeah.
Could also a pair of human legs? Yes.
I mean... sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just, I don't want it to be like a UFO or nothing, and nothing could have done that. Because it is just a patch of flat grass.
Sure. But as I say...
Maybe even a dog nothing... rolling on its back could make that circle, you know?
Yeah, okay, great. A 15-foot circle of a dog rolling on its back. That'd be a f***ing Clifford. Maybe if Clifford had an itchy back. Yeah, well, maybe we'd have 5 15-foot wide circles in the middle of a swamp.
All right.
I'm trying to make the point, there's no obvious other craft. It's not, as you say, a weather balloon or whatever.
Yeah.
Could it be a hoax? Yeah, it's a little early for this episode to be talking about that, but yes, could be. Well, Rory, maybe it's unsurprising that Rory's turning into a f***ing traitor this instantly into the podcast episode, because the crop circles were instantly controversial, with some who saw these claiming, interestingly, that they were actually caused by tornadoes. Or, as they call them in Australia, willy willies.
Really?
Yeah.
A willy willy?
Mm-hmm.
Why that? Where'd that come from, I wonder?
Why, is that a funny term to you?
Shouldn't a willy willy, yeah,
funny about
is.
A tornado.
You think there's something funny about being home one day and a willy willy knocking down your front door?
Giant willy willy?
A willy willy killed my uncle. Do you still think it's funny that he was attacked by a 30-foot willy that came out of nowhere?
All right, that's enough. It's an interesting idea, though, that it could be a weather event. And I mean, yeah, this part of the world, we don't have willy willies in this part of the world.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's possible, really. But they can ostensibly appear in the middle of nowhere, out of nowhere, pretty instantaneously. So I guess this is possible.
Yeah. I mean, Australia has animals that I don't even know about. So imagine what kind of weather they have over there.
But George remained adamant about what he'd seen. Little did he know, this was basically the beginning of a global phenomenon. This would be far from the last crop circle to appear here on Earth, even if it would take another 10 years for people to actually start calling them that. Because the Tully UFO case is our pretty much first modern example of crop circles.
That is crazy. I would have assumed, if you asked me, that these went back to biblical times. You know, crop circles are such a interlinked part of UFOs and extraterrestrial activity, it's crazy that the most seemingly contemporary reference to them in humans' history is in, what did you say, the 1960s?
Yeah, I mean, there definitely will be similar things over the years. I know that one thing might come up later is the Nazca Lines. Do you remember those?
Of course, I almost turned those into a whole story on the podcast.
Yeah.
And then I think it became quite evident that it really wasn't paranormal. And
now we don't know that.
Trying to imply that it was is kind of a disservice to the locals who actually created these incredible sculptures.
Cool. So. Well, why don't you just set fire to the back half of my script? Why don't you just take the last five pages and just take a little little match to it?
I didn't realize, and
just do a Joker cackle.
I didn't realize you were
really
doing
just fit
that.
In.
I didn't realize your script involved the Nazca Line. So hey,
oh it did.
But
oh it did. So. All right, so I guess now we're at the halfway point because things just got shorter is what's happened. So, yeah. But that's great. Do you just want to... How about I just hand you a loaded gun and you just end my life early? Just like... Yeah, because why would we enjoy just doing the podcast normally? Let's just end it now.
But that's... You know, that's the thing about the Nazca Lines. There's so many interesting ways to look at it. And that's one way. All and right. There are other ways.
Yeah,
and we might actually hear one of those ways today on the podcast, which is so exciting. So stay tuned for after the break.
Right.
Stay tuned for after the break when there's going to be a talk about a ton of other theories and stuff.
We're actually not talking about the Nazca Lines. So what did you say? Crop circles are racist or something? So that's it. That's a good thing to say in my investigation. But yes, no, it is an interesting point. And that's why I was saying earlier that crop circles are weirdly, the more you look at them, pretty strongly situated in a time and place, as we're going to see further into this, that they were really present during our childhood, 80s, 90s, 2000s. When was the last... Time you heard about one.
Very true.
You know?
Been a dry season.
Yeah, I haven't really seen them come up in modern paranormal cases. We are trying to figure out what they are, whether they are proof of an alien visitation. Are they created by freak weather? Are they some kind of fairy circle? We've seen those before, particularly in places like Ireland. Or are they just elaborate hoaxes? We're going to need more than the Tully UFO case to figure all that out. So, let's journey to Edmonton in Canada. We're flashing forward, it's 1998. Farmers Rusty Manuel and Thelly Whitman awoke to find something a bit off about their fields of crops. They could have sworn when they went to sleep the night before, there was nothing going on in the field. Because, let's face it, it's easy to spot this type of UFO activity because it's a field of corn.
Yeah.
Ideally, nothing should be happening.
Right.
So you're going to notice when something changes. When they woke, looking out of their window, they could see something strange etched into one of their fields. Walking into the center of it, they realized it was a series of huge crop circles. The biggest was 13 meters in diameter.
Whoa.
Really bloody big. Rory, here's just one shot of one of them.
Holy shit. Okay. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Yes, I did like the first example that we saw where it was kind of just a round hole in the middle of a bunch of reeds. But this, what I'm looking at right now, will be much more similar to even what our audience is imagining when they hear the term crop circle. This thing's not even a circle. It looks like a three-leaf clover.
A complex geometric pattern, if you
with,
will.
Yes, patterns, hoops inside, little designs. It looks almost like an ancient symbol that's been burned into the ground.
Yeah, we're now getting into more, like this could be an indentation of a craft, absolutely. But it's starting to look like the aliens are pulling out the Etch-a-Sketch and they are doodling.
They're going hardcore. They're going Picasso mode. In this corn, let me tell you something. That right there ain't the work of a Willy Willy.
Yeah, hell no. Yeah, these aliens pulled off their X-Men Cyclops lenses and went and laser beamed this into the field. Whitman was blown away by what they found. She described the scene. The grain was all flattened down. It almost looked like a pattern, like petals. The way the grain came out and then the heads turned back in towards the center again. It was just amazing.
God, hey, you want to test for any radioactive activity or heat? Check if any of that corn has popped. Did your field smell like butter? Or an AMC theater? That could be evidence of some paranormal activity, right?
Yeah, we got some sweet and salty activity up in here. To make things even more strange and compelling, both Manuel and Whitman had seen strange lights in the night sky in the days running up to this discovery.
Hello.
The plot is thickening. They also weren't alone. Several witnesses came forward describing similar lights. A young couple who had been driving past these fields had pulled over one night to see shining bright blue lights dancing in the sky just a week before the arrival of the crop formations. It wasn't long before the big dogs caught wind of this case. Yeah, you guessed it. The Canadian Crop Circle Research Network.
Oh.
Play the Dad Squad theme tune.
Who's that coming up the hill? Yeah, don't be scared, it's the Dad Squad.
This is a volunteer organization that researches and documents crop circles across Canada, which I would make fun of more, but actually when you think about how big Canada is, that's a mental job.
Yeah, it is. I don't know how much of it is covered in crops, but probably enough that you're going to have to do a lot of traveling.
Canada is the second biggest country on Earth. I saw that on a YouTube video the other day.
Wow. I guess probably a lot of it is inhospitable.
Is that right?
And I'm talking about the Toronto housing market. Am I right, Canadians?
That's right. Literal field researcher Judy Arndt arrived on the scene and was stunned. Later she would say, it looked like the place had been electrocuted. It was just amazing. It looked like there had been a huge force of some sort.
Whoa.
You know, Rory, you called it. You want radioactivity. We're always looking for more and more physical research, physical evidence of a UFO landing. And these MFers did not miss. They conducted a soil and plant analysis of the field.
Love it.
And sent it to the BLT research team in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
The sandwich?
I assume this is more scientific than the BLT research I conducted in 2007 to find the most delicious bacon, lettuce, tomato in my hometown.
This is weird. So they sent a sample, which was presumably corn, to the BLT facility.
I don't know what BLT stands for. I will say, and I don't want to downplay the great research that the Canadian Crop Circle Research Network are doing.
Yeah.
The BLT research website does look a lot like crystallinks.org.
Okay.
It's a crop circle research lab.
Wow.
Just know that. It's not, because like, I kind of made it sound like it was a faculty at MIT. It's not. But interestingly, they claimed that there were distinct changes present in the crops, including a number of abnormalities that supposedly could not have happened were this a hoax. They also sent soil samples to a Dr. Sampath Iyengar in California, who claimed that the mineralogy of the soil had changed dramatically, a change that they said would normally only happen over several million years, and that, quote, some kind of fantastic energy caused this change.
Okay. I want to know a little bit more about that scientist's credentials.
Moving on. Because they sounded like a Digimon. Iyengar.
Yeah, and also if something like that had happened, if soil had been transformed to a state that it usually wouldn't be able to reach for millions of years, that would be Nobel Prize worthy. That would be the scientific anomaly of a generation.
I knew this shit wasn't getting past anybody.
The corn was brown. It was, and corn is, from my scientific understanding, usually yellowy green.
Yeah, I think they lost us on millions of years of changes. I think for some reason, like even saying like 1,000 years yeah. of mineral change.
Seasonal.
Millions
seasonal
of
changes.
What does that mean? All the corn's a fossil? Yeah, I don't understand. Is it encased in amber? This is crazy. I do appreciate the scientific approach, however.
Sure, an attempt at it. Yeah, it's admirable. Sending your research to the Meatball Marinara Institute of Corn Research.
We sent it to a Subway sandwich training facility.
Because they were out of sweet corn.
They said, yo, this corn tastes off to me. So, hey, one interesting case in Canada that I think has a little bit more depth to it than a farmer seeing just a flattened bit of corn. It's a more interesting shape.
Mm.
Lights and sounds were seen by multiple different witnesses in the weeks running up to the crop circles appearing. Then we get paranormal researchers on the ground, boots on the ground, checking what's going on, and they are claiming that the crops are altered in some way. It's not a silver bullet. It's not the smoking gun, but it's something.
We're moving in the right direction.
But I'm really burying the lead here, because whilst we're hanging out in Canada, the global epicenter of crop circles over the years is actually England.
Mm.
For some reason, UFOs have descended on Blighty like no other place on Earth, and crop circles in the English countryside are burned into the minds of people our age, because growing up in the 90s, this stuff was all over the news, all over the tabloids. It was really part of British culture, was what was going on with crop circles.
Wow, maybe that's why we think of it as being such a big thing, if it was such a big thing here in the UK. I don't even know what our crop is that they would burn themselves into. We don't make corn.
Yeah,
wheat? Grain?
Yeah, there's a lot of that in the... It's particularly in the south of England, because the south of England's pretty hot.
Right.
So there's a lot of that type of farming down there. Less so here in Ireland. We do have crops, but, you know, we're famous for potatoes, aren't we? So
true.
I don't know how much you're burning complex geometric patterns into a field of potatoes.
Yeah. A potato circle is just an easy bake potato smiley face
right,
you can have for dinner.
Rory, one such story of a crop circle starts in England in South Downs that we're going to get right into after a couple of words from today's sponsors.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you are somebody who loves all things spooky, then Real Life Ghost Stories podcast is the one for you. My name is Emma. I am the host of Real Life Ghost Stories podcast. And every week I bring to you three podcast episodes that are full to the brim with paranormal stories. Every Wednesday and Friday, I release a mini episode, which is dedicated to the spooky stories of our listeners. And every Sunday, we deep dive into a famous paranormal case. You can find Real Life Ghost Stories wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Kit, when we bottle up our emotions, it can start to affect us negatively. Sometimes it's important that we get stuff off our chest.
Tell me about it. I found a UFO in the forest and now this thing is attached to my chest.
Jesus, that's an alien.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I was speaking metaphorically about dealing with emotions and talking about our feelings by using services like BetterHelp.
I don't need to talk about my feelings. This thing can read my mind.
Therapy can be a great way to set boundaries and become the best version of yourself. With BetterHelp, you can get matched with a licensed therapist that suits your needs. It's online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You're saying they can get things off my chest, like Zonktar here?
Don't give it a name.
Maybe me and Zonktar can sign up for BetterHelp together.
Give it a shot, and whatever it is, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ParanormalLife today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ParanormalLife.
It's 1978, and like all good British stories, this one starts in a pub.
Hell yeah.
Rory, I know you like a good, silly English town name. Got one here for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Drum roll, please. Cheesefoot Head.
Okay, love it.
We're in the town of Cheesefoot Head. Friends, Doug Bauer and Dave Chorley were sitting in a cozy pub chatting over pints of ale.
Why does no one who's seen a crop circle have a normal name? What are these names?
Doug Bauer.
Okay.
And
that one's
Dave
all right.
Chorley.
Okay. Doug Bauer, I can get behind. Doug, it sounds like Doug made up Dave. He's like, I was at the pub. Were you drinking by yourself? No.
The thing is, you've said...
My friend, Chorley was there. Charlie? No.
Chorley.
Chorley.
The thing is, you've said Doug is the normal one. There is no Englishman named Doug. I've never met an Englishman named Doug.
Yeah, that is a very American name.
The men were discussing a strange story they'd both read in the papers over 10 years earlier. The story in question was none other than George Pedley's UFO sighting from Tully in Australia.
Hmm.
The incident had caught the attention of this duo, but what interested Bauer and Chorley most was the description of this large area of flattened reeds below where the aerial activity had been seen. And after a few too many ales, let's call it a Rory's dozen, aka 14 beers, it gave them an idea. Sipping their pints on that warm summer's night, they considered the thousands of acres of quiet farmland all around and the millions of strands of untouched crops across southern England. Well, stumbling out of the pub at last orders, they began a 10-year project that would confuse a whole generation of scientists and paranormal investigators, not to mention piss off an ungodly amount of farmers. They strolled into a nearby wheat field and staged their first hoax crop circle.
Wow. This is maybe a first in this paranormal life history. We are telling you about the hoax, straight up.
I'm glad you pointed it out, Rory. It feels wrong.
It does.
Feels wrong as I sit in my studio into my TPL-branded microphone. Normally, it's my job on This Paranormal Life to avoid hoaxers like the plague. But in the story of crop circles, the names Bauer and Chorley are inextricably linked. And it is the strange reality of this paranormal case. You're about to see, these guys have made a big dent, not just in these fields of wheat, but in the minds of the paranormal. Armed with nothing more than a light buzz, a plank of wood and a piece of rope, they flattened these crops down into patterns. At first, the creations were simple, but as their confidence grew, the duo created more and more complex patterns. For over 10 years, Doug and Dave's creations across southern England hit headlines, drew huge crowds time and time again. They started to consider themselves artists, and these circles, massive installations or pieces of performance art. And in 1991, after they created over 200 pieces, which is a lot of nights out at the pub,
yeah,
they revealed a huge archive of old crop circle plans to a reporter and came clean about the whole thing.
Wow, I gotta see some of these.
The headline ran with, "The Men Who Conned the World." Let me start with a photo of Doug and Dave in the field.
Wow, all right. Yeah, real old-timey pub dwellers right here.
Owl fellas.
Yeah.
Real owl fellas. They're also low-key dressed like MIBs, like shirts, ties, slacks. I just realized one of them's wearing a baseball cap that says SWAT on it, SWAT. That's crazy. Well, Rory, I don't know if it's because they didn't have that many aerial photos back then. Finding it hard to find Doug and Dave's exact creations, but this is one that could well be theirs. This is from Wiltshire back in 1990, back when these guys were really cooking.
Whoa! All right. We've moved on from even the concept of a circle. This is just an alien language.
Yeah, right.
Scribbled into a wall. I guess there are circles involved, but yeah, that's pretty cool. That's insane. That looks like something out of Star Wars.
I wonder what came first, right? Like, where did this alien language come from? Because that seems like, this is like pretty standard issue sci-fi stuff now, right?
Yeah.
But like, I wonder where that all started, because it's very complex.
Yeah, by the time of the 1990s, there probably was a lot of sci-fi and pop culture.
Yeah. In the article, Chorley and Bauer describe how they would drink a few pints on a Friday night, then stumble out into the fields under the cover of darkness, often working until daybreak. Then the following day, as the tourists, farmers and ufologists would gather round to see the crop circles, half the time Dave and Doug were standing in the crowd, presumably obviously covered in wheat and looking very tired.
Where did their partners think they were every night? If you just arrive back in the morning at 8 a.m. covered in hay and wheat, just like, it's a crop circles. They're like, what have you been doing all night? This is insane. Chorley is a bad influence on you.
Yeah, you'd have to be a very forgiving spouse to let them off with that for 10 years.
10 years, that's crazy.
So this is a whole mess because Chorley and Bauer proved that a huge number of crop circles were hoaxes. And they believe that they inspired tons of copycats around the world.
Yikes.
But at the same time, it didn't stop people believing in the more kind of serious cases like we heard of earlier. The theories ranged massively, right? That these were created by UFOs landing, or that they were connected to ley lines, or that these were, and I like this twist, that these could be actually messages from Gaia, from Mother Earth herself, to humans.
Oh.
Kind of this idea of like communicating messages through the plants.
That's kind of cool.
And they were popular. When these things appeared, it looked like a damn This Paranormal Life live show. There were people wandering around the crop circles with EMF readers, tinfoil hats, audio recorders, you name it.
The idea that this is Mother Earth communicating with us is very sweet and cute, and I think there is something very beautiful about that. In reality, it's probably good she can't talk. 'Cause she'd be screaming. She'd have a few problems, I reckon.
I think if Mother Earth has spoken to us, I think it was COVID-19. I think it was bird flu. I think she has been trying to get rid of us for a little while. Just the scientists are a little too quick with the vaccines.
You know, sometimes Mother Earth, cute little Mother Earth, just decides it's not going to rain for a month. And just, we'll see what happens there. Really kind of test the limits of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a little message. Maybe that's sweet.
Yeah, maybe it's not like a smiley face in a field.
Yeah, it's saying, what's fracking? Why is this a thing now?
But was it any wonder that people did believe, amidst the hoaxes, that some of these really were real when videos like the following were turning up? Because, Rory, there was a bit of a hubbub in the 90s when this video I'm about to show you dropped. It hit the UFO scene, claiming to have captured UFOs on camera making a crop circle.
Oliver's Castle, Wiltshire, 1989.
There's a couple of lights down there somewhere.
This controversial film appears to show strange objects hovering above a cornfield. Below, complex circle formations appear.
All right, that is really a strange video. To describe it to the listeners, it's like two little orb things going around in circles in the sky. They never even touch the ground.
Yeah.
And then beneath them, the patterns just kind of form in the field.
It is really interesting.
Yeah, I guess what's the point? If they are doing this, what's the point in leaving a circle in the ground or doing this little marking? I mean, what's the intention behind this?
Right. I mean, I guess it's the movie Arrival. It's you know, the movie Arrival centers around, they make contact with aliens, but the aliens basically just jizz out.
Gunk, black gunk.
Yeah, Rorschach tests onto glass. And the scientists are trying to figure out what they mean. But they're basically trying to communicate with humans in a way that we have absolutely no idea how it would work.
Yeah, but I mean, I do understand that, but also, you know, for example, take humans. Humans, we're not that smart. It was only a handful of years ago that there was a challenge online where you would try and eat a Tide Pod. But we sent kind of a missile into space with messages containing Earth's knowledge. And we were even smart enough to not just make that a ham sandwich and a picture of Homer Simpson. We made it like a piece of music, you know. I think there was even like parts of like the mathematical universal language of the galaxies. All these things that it's like, hey, if they communicate like this, they might be able to understand this. There was like all these little bits put together. So to imply a species this smart would come down to Earth and burn a weird wiggle into the grass and be like, all right, on to the next planet. We've done it here. You know, you think they would be smart enough to leave something behind more valuable.
Rory, here's why you're entirely wrong. Because yes, we did send in the Voyager probe all of the things you just described. We sent music, images, beautiful works of art from across human history and diagrams. You know how we've f-ing sent it? Carved into gold records. Like we literally, like as you say, why would they come down and carve images into crops? We literally carve the data into a vinyl, into a disc.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then we're trusting that they have a turntable. That they have turntables to listen to music on another planet. Like
there must have been a scientific.
That's what they burned into the field. Look at that disc.
How would they know what this is?
There must have been a scientific explanation, reasoning behind why we sent a vinyl.
Is so funny for us to be like debating, like, what would aliens do? This is what we did. This is what humans did. That is humans' contribution to space, is those two discs.
We sent a platform of media so defunct we don't even use it now. We shot that into the future.
Shit.
That's wild. There must have been a good explanation, I'm sure. I gotta trust the eggheads at NASA for that one.
Hey, pretty cool though. I like that you can buy replicas of these. Maybe we need to get these
That's
for this
dope.
Studio.
That is actually very cool.
The Voyager golden discs. Crazy that they sent a gold disc to space. Nuts. I will say the video I just showed you is a hoax.
Yeah, I assumed. 100%, yeah.
Unfortunately, basically a bunch of people involved in making it have come out and said, it's a hoax and we made it and here's how we made it.
It's embarrassing that took a lot of people.
Okay, well, as I said, the pun I made before, we are now deep in the weeds, where we're deep in the crop circles of fighting about whether these are real, whether they are hoaxes. I thought I would hit you with a paranormal pop quiz to test your abilities as an investigator. I'm going to show you, granted, I don't have the answers, so this is just seeing what you think. I've got a bunch of images of crop circles. You're going to decide right here and now, mini conclusion style,
okay,
whether each one is real or a hoax.
Got it.
Okay. Image one.
This doesn't even look like it was a hoax. This is a Photoshop.
No, not real.
We're talking about a ridiculously intricate design burnt into grass. So intricate that there was no way that this is really
Pretty sure you can see wiggles in it. It's
wiggles aren't justification behind.
I'm pretty sure it's a logo for like Resident Evil or something. It's basically the Biohazard logo.
Yeah, that thing's insane. That is a hoax for sure.
Okay. What about this one? Crop circle number two.
Where did you find this stuff?
Dark web.
This is even weirder, even more intricate, even bigger looking.
Hey, the crop circles have gotten nuttier.
I don't even know what to tell you, folks. This is a circle with hoops around it, but inside there's almost like beetle-like scarabs kind of roaming around in a circle with a little pyramid on top. This also, I only just want to know whether or not these are, forget real. I don't think real is even going to come up in this
what?
Presentation.
You haven't even seen them all yet.
I'm trying to decide between Photoshop, AI.
None of them are Photoshop or AI.
Hoax.
These are all real crop circles. This is you. I'm glad you're seeing these because you're getting a sense of just these aren't even the craziest crop circles I've ever seen. Crop circles have gotten bananas over the last 30 years.
All right. Well, so far it's going to be two hoaxes.
Oh, God damn it. What about this one?
What the f***? This is just impressive.
Yeah, right.
This almost looks like a line of planets and eclipses.
Oh, yeah. That's what it is.
Like almost like a galactic map moving out in a line.
You're right. It is a galactic map.
Looks very cool. That would be the closest one I would probably edge towards saying that there is some kind of justification as to why it would be. You know, it's not a squiggle. It looks like it could
be
some
kind
of
map. We're getting close to really cracking.
But not enough for a yes. No.
Damn it. All right. Let's keep moving. All right. Crop circle number. I've lost track. Maybe number four.
That's a man playing acoustic guitar in a field. You said none of this was Photoshop.
It's a crop circle of Luke Bryan, the country singer. Yeah.
Cool. All right. No.
It is real.
But not real.
Well, right. Sorry. It does exist. But you're saying it's not a UFO.
Not a UFO. Impressive, but not a UFO.
They might like Luke Bryan. I don't know. Okay. Didn't like that one. What about the next one?
That looks like a penis. That is a penis.
Whoa.
That is.
Don't know where you're getting that from. Sorry, get your mind out of the gutter, mate.
A penis and testicles with a line shooting out the top of it.
I don't really.
That was definitely.
Do you need like a coffee break or something? Because your mind is going to a kind of dirty place and I don't really know where that's coming from. That is two circles, then a long rectangle.
Yeah.
Then it's like a semicircle, yeah, at the top.
Mm-hmm. And then the lines.
And then some kind of intergalactic symbol at the top, shooting out at the top.
This one was caused by a Willy Willy. It definitely was.
Okay, next one.
Whoa, this is, if you've ever used an iPhone, this is the Spotify app logo.
Yeah, it is. Could be what their planet looks like, though, because it is a circle.
Yeah, pretty strange. It does look like, yeah, either the Spotify logo or the Wi-Fi button. Someone's enabled Wi-Fi on this cornfield.
What about that one? Last one.
That is a bicycle. Someone's made a giant bicycle in a field.
They might have bicycles on their planet.
They came down in a UFO to draw a bicycle and leave.
It's a pretty cartoonishly simple bicycle as well. Okay, so Rory didn't really think any of those were real, which is disappointing, but maybe reflective of the reality. I mean, I should point out that the Spotify one and the Luke Bryan one goes to show you, it gives you a sense of where crop circles are at in our society now. It's a bit telling if we haven't seen crop circles in recent paranormal investigations. And at the same time, Spotify has done a viral marketing stunt of creating crop circles for their large country artists.
Right. I think, you know, at no point did we really get to the bottom of why people believe this is something that happens. What's the justification behind it? It's just that sometimes they show up and we don't know why, and we know that they have been easily hoaxed in the past. It's a messy combination, really.
I don't know if it's that messy. In the Tully UFO, it was that they landed and just crushed the crops where they landed. And then the more complicated ones, yes, it's weird, but it's like they're trying to communicate with us.
Yeah. The first one, that makes a bit more sense. The rest of them, not so much.
Rory, we might be kind of circling a kind of sad conclusion that these really may be more hoax than reality. Maybe much more hoax than I would like to admit. But it does bring up a kind of strange question, which is, you said, why would aliens even do this if it was aliens? There's also another question. Why are humans doing this if it is hoaxes? What possesses them to do it? Even a question I hadn't really thought about.
Yeah.
But since Doug and Dave had left their mark on the English countryside, I believe Doug has left us now. And so in a BBC interview in 2019, they talked to his son, Jim Chorley. And as Jim put it, he said, quote, "I still believe in the magic as we're sat here now. This is magical. My dad would always say there's no better place for an Englishman than in his own countryside at dawn." Which is kind of nice that, like, at the end
No, don't twist this into something beautiful. They got drunk in a bar and conned a village into believing lies.
But someone went on to make a point, right? Stay with me here.
Okay.
We wonder why people make these. That they're like, yeah, it's weird. We kind of had a couple ales and then we just felt like painting complex geometric patterns into a field. As people have pointed out, it's like, bro, why does Stonehenge exist? Why does any like ancient site where now we look back 5,000 years later and we're like, they were trying to communicate with the ancients themselves. We believe it was a burial rite of some kind, honoring their dead.
I mean, then do it in the daytime, loud and proud in front of everyone.
But it's pretty fascinating that this is obviously some kind of built into humans thing to do, to make weird little patterns. And then you kind of like justify it to yourself as like, yeah, we thought we would with people and make it seem like there were aliens visiting.
I love this idea of, you know, interviewing the family of one of these men and they're just like, yeah, my father or my granddad, you know, it's amazing to think that what he did, creating these symbols that inspired a movement, and he did it all in secrecy. I actually think that's kind of beautiful, shaping the environment literally to tell a story. And the reporter's like, wow, that really is beautiful. Now, after the break, we're going to be talking to the farmers whose livelihoods were destroyed in the act.
It's like graffiti, man. The streets are the canvas, bro.
Yeah, but that's instead of painting the walls with beautiful designs, you smash holes in them to make a smiley face. They're like, cool, you destroyed a house. That's tough. I think they should have done it out in public. Made these beautiful designs, shapes.
They couldn't have. If you're the farmer, you could do it to your own land, I suppose. But you had to because it was illegal, I suppose, is why they did it like that. I mean, that's why when you look at the Spotify ones, the modern ones, you'll notice there's a big rectangle of the field has been left aside for them to make their crop circle in. They didn't do it at night illegally.
My love for brave and bold, ambitious rebellious art is clashing with my pure white hatred for paranormal hoaxers.
Right.
And it's kind of clashing in the middle right now. I think my hatred for hoaxers is overwhelming that love today.
Well, Rory, at the end of every episode of This Paranormal Life, we do have to come down on a conclusion as to whether said investigation is paranormal or not. Now, this one is a lot bigger than I was even maybe anticipating. Like, there's a world where we looked into crop circles just on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
And looked at the Tully UFO, which was a pretty cool case in its own right. But I think there is a reason why we haven't covered crop circles up to now, because at one point in time in the 90s, they were deadly serious. They were taken very seriously. There's a reason why they were, you know, heavily featured in things like The X-Files and, you know, M. Night Shyamalan's Signs movie. That was a scary movie back at the time.
Yeah.
But nowadays, they've faded into irrelevancy, like lots of other paranormal phenomena. We've looked at, when we looked at ectoplasm back in Victorian times, that was cutting edge paranormal shit. Nowadays, it looks silly in retrospect. And crop circles has gone slightly the same way, which is why, a long-winded way of saying, I feel comfortable today in us just laying down the line on crop circles in general. Rory, what do you think?
Yeah, this episode was a bit of a roller coaster. I felt like I was getting kind of beat up. You know, we'd hear one story about the crop circle just being made by a craft touching the ground. Then seconds later, how crop circles are intricate designs left by UFOs. Then they were like, oh, isn't that interesting? Well, it's not that interesting because it's a hoax. It was made by two men beat up and punched in the side of the head. And then it's like, all right, and then finally I'm going to show you 15 in quick succession. Some of them are viral marketing campaigns and one of them is a dick. And then by the end, it's like, what do you think? And I haven't barely had time to catch my breath over here. I've been whipped around so much. I think if we had looked at our middle case today, the case where there was the crop circle formed in the field, where there was sightings of strange objects in the sky by the locals just prior, I think we might have been closer to having a single investigation into crop circles that could have been edging towards a yes. But I think, as everyone can tell by the end of this episode, this topic is a mess. It is an absolute mess. Usually, by the end of an investigation, we have a clearer insight as to what's going on, and we feel like we can decide whether something's paranormal or not. This, if anything, just made things way more confusing. And unfortunately, when things get muddier and more confusing and hoaxes are involved, that's when we are furthest away from being able to decide that something is paranormal. So for me today, it's going to be a no.
I think it's well said, Rory. We could have focused in on just one, but I think that would be disingenuous, wouldn't it? It would be disingenuous to not tell the story of Doug and Dave, because they are integral to the story of crop circles in general, which I think means it's going to be a double no today on the story of crop circles. Come at me, bro. Drop a pin if you want to fight about it. If you believe strongly in crop circles, please change our minds.
We'll build a fight circle in a field. And you can go toe-to-toe with Kit.
It is an interesting one, though, isn't it? Because I don't think we've ever covered a paranormal case or phenomenon where it's been so muddied by hoaxers.
Yeah.
You know, because like we've just looked right at the Voyager probe that humans put out into space. It's fun to think that somewhere out in space, an alien civilization could have received that disc.
Yeah.
And they're studying what's on it. And they're like, damn, this is crazy. And they're like, huh, too bad the guys over in the Andromeda Galaxy are always f***ing with us by sending probes over with crazy shit on it. It's like, yeah, man, you just can't believe any of it. You can't believe any of it because there's probes left, right and center with crazy nonsense on it.
Alien skeptics. I love it. What a great concept.
There's a world where crop circles somewhere, some of these stories are real,
yeah.
But that their method of communication is too easy to replicate and humans have destroyed it.
Yeah. You never know, genuinely. I mean, another side question. How fast did we shoot that thing?
Let's see where it is.
Yeah. Do we put an air tag on it? Because presumably that thing is going hundreds of thousands of miles per hour, if it ever wants to reach anything.
Well, Rory, I can give you an update on where Voyager 1 and 2 are. They were launched around the same time.
Ooh.
You can check the progress of their mission on the NASA website. They are traveling, to answer your question, they are traveling at 38,000 miles per hour.
Nice.
And they are now 15 billion miles from Earth.
Okay. Okay. Progress.
Apparently, they're currently in interstellar space, somewhere in the constellation of Ophiuchus. They were not directed. You would think, because they were sent to communicate, that they were directed at some kind of planet or star. Apparently, the closest they will get to a star is they will get to about 1 light year away from the star AC+793888 in about 40,000 years' time.
Any day now. Good stuff.
It goes to show what we're saying, which is, it even says there, it's like Carl Sagan summed it up. He's like, the only way anyone will ever intercept this shit is if they are f***ing Star Wars people, if they have interstellar travel and all of this. So, chances are pretty slim.
That's fair.
Guys, I hope you have enjoyed this week's investigation into all things crop circles, into the strange markings that have been left in countries all around the world. Didn't get to touch the Nazca lines, so I don't know. We haven't...
Jury's still out on that
jury's
one.
Jury's still out on that one.
Yeah.
Is it racist? Is it not? I don't know. I just don't know. They are cool, though. Look them up if you've never seen them.
Yeah, Kit did tear up 4 pages after I kind of mentioned them.
This was supposed to be a two-parter. It was, but it's only one now. So thank you for tuning in. Of course, you might be disappointed listening at home with a double no on your hands, but there are cases that have actually been given a double yes before, over on patreon.com/thisparanormallife. Of course, they're littered throughout the main feed as well.
Oh, yeah.
But if you have listened to many of the main feed, and maybe you want to spice things up, hear something that little bit different from me and Rory. We've been making bonus episodes and behind-the-scenes after-parties for years now. I'm making bonus episodes since almost the very beginning, back in 2018. And that vault of paranormal investigations is over on patreon.com/thisparanormallife.
What's the key, Kit? How do I get in?
For a mere $5.
Too expensive.
It's not really.
You think I'm made of cash?
It actually is. Just with Biden inflation, it's going down in price. That used to be.
That actually is.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Now, less so.
Yeah, we used to be able to say, just for the price of a cup of coffee, every month you can get all this stuff. Where are you getting coffee for $5 these days?
Yeah, in Los Angeles, $5 will get a barista to spit in your face. You won't get a coffee for that.
In some places, that costs even more.
All right, the places Rory likes to go. There's a ton of other rewards too. Of course, we have our beautiful Knight of the Commune gold and silver coin, which guarantees access to the commune upon completion of construction, which is pending, I think, what did I say, 40,000 AD? I think that's kind of when we're trying to get the commune finished up. You can get that too over at Patreon. The link is in the description of this episode. But also, we do shout outs for people who are on the shout out tier on Patreon. Let's round out with a couple. So let's give a special thank you to Jake Lindley. They call him Fake Jake. Not because he's fake, because he's the realest dude alive. And he can spot a fake from a mile away.
That's so confusing.
Crop circles.
Call him Real Jake knows. Then.
No, but it doesn't rhyme.
Doesn't have to rhyme.
Yeah, it does have to rhyme.
So Fake Jake is called Fake Jake because he's the realest person, you know. And he can spot fakes.
He can spot a fake Gucci bag. He can spot any fake you can imagine.
Okay, change your name, Jake.
There's no name rhymes with real. It just, I don't know.
Thanks, Peel?
Thanks to Alex Sharp.
Alex Sharp Schwing is the bluntest guy you've ever met
before. Oh, you can't even ask him how he's doing without him being like, great, you must be doing shit because you're a dickhead.
Right, he's so blunt,
he's
about
just
everything.
Oh god.
Yeah no masking anything, just says it how it is. And I guess that makes him pretty real too.
Yeah, well, not as real as Fake Jake. All right. Thank you to Alcoholic Trex.
Alcoholic Trex has never had a drop in his life, but he can spot an alcoholic from 100 miles.
Oh, yeah. He works for the AA, Alcoholics Anonymous.
I've been sampling quite a few wonderful delicacies that I know you've been having recently, Kit. The world of non-alcoholic beer is in a beautiful place right now.
Right. The game has changed.
You've got Guinness Zero, Corona Zero, Lucky Saint. Lots of delicious non-alcoholic versions. So hopefully our our sober friend here can indulge in some of these beverages.
And lastly, today, thank you to Fernando. Fernando, so called because he always wants to go for a Nando's. This is the cheekiest mother alive.
Always, every meal?
Every
Nando's?
Meal. Breakfast? Lunch, dinner. He goes breakfast, he goes mild spice. Lunch, he goes peri-peri original.
Sure.
Dinner, all bets are off, brother. Spicy. The top level of spice,
mild.
I don't remember.
Peri-peri. Could be any one of the two he had already today. Just anything but hot, because it's too much for
he
his
tummy.
He loves
Nando's. As I do, too.
I hate it. It's one of my controversial takes. Really don't like Nando's. Waste of time and money.
It's just nothing to not like about it, though. You can just get whatever you want, can't you?
Change my mind, commune. Change my mind.
Thank you so much to Fernando. Thank you to everyone who has supported us on Patreon, who has in the past, who will in the future, and who does now. It's an ecumenical church, our Patreon, our commune. Thank you for your support. Thank you for tuning in today. We're going to be back on Tuesday with a brand new paranormal tale. Tune in then. Namaste.
Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.